It's the Steve Cochran Show on the road. This morning, live from Mary's Morning Mix-Up, 9110 West Broadway Avenue in Brookfield. Stop by and enjoy the fried donuts.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And enjoy Friday on 720 WGN.
We are live at Mary's Morning Mix-Up. And let me tell you something. The fried donuts, they're not kidding. They just brought the fried donuts out. You know what we're doing? We're eating the fried donuts. Because that's what God intended.
These look great.
Isn't that a cool joint?
This place is so cute.
I love this place.
I love how you act like that's not what we do every morning.
I have the fried donuts.
6 a.m. It doesn't matter where. It's just fried donuts.
Yeah, we only had that kind of pipeline.
Dave loves the fried donuts.
Stop saying fried donuts.
Mix up. 9110 Broadway Avenue in Brookfield. And you should come out and see us. I mean, this place is going to fill up for breakfast anyway, but we're going to pretend it's because we're here.
Will we get free fried donuts?
One piece of breaking news. Sure. One piece of breaking news overnight will include in the top six at six, which I believe should start right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Don't eat.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one, death toll of Hurricane Michael stands at six. When the sun came up yesterday, and you can see the devastation at Mexico Beach, wow. This little town in Florida. It's just awful. There was a woman was doing an interview on CNN who moved her family from Miami because Miami was so hurricane prone, and she knew that the panhandle was not. And she lived there all of 2 months. That's just one of the thousands. Well,
the aerial footage of that, if you have not seen that,
it looks
just
like a mammoth.
It's terrible.
Six deaths confirmed so far. More than 1 million homes and businesses without electricity. 1.5 million last night. And a lot of those folks are not going to get electricity back for a long time. So the president, of course, was busy. Next. I thought I heard a quack in there somewhere. Donald Trump hosted Kanye West at the White House and in the Oval Office yesterday. There's no jokes here. Kanye West appears to have full-on bipolar disorder. It's something he was diagnosed with in the past. He claims it was a sleep disorder and misdiagnosed. He appeared to be in a full episode of mania yesterday.
Did the president call him Ye or Kanye?
I don't know.
Because didn't Dean tell us he wants to be called Ye?
He wants to be called just Ye. But anyway, the bipolar disorder thing, it's incredibly serious, and listen, I lost a friend of this, so I'm a little sensitive about it. But Kanye West is not well, and yesterday seemed to prove it quite vividly.
Well, he seems to be a lot like the president in the sense that a lot of things that he says are nonsensical, but I will say this, that he spent a lot of time talking about Chicago violence. It hasn't really been reported because it's been all about all the nonsensical Superman and the MAGA hat and everything and the national level. But he's met with Superintendent Eddie Johnson and Michael Sachs, who's Rahm Emanuel's right-hand man, at the Soho Hotel, the West Loop, the day before to get stats on Chicago violence, Chicago safety, issues like that. And he brought some of those issues to the president's attention, including how he actually believes that stop and frisk is bad for the community.
Right.
So he actually did a lot of work for Chicago yesterday. It was just overshadowed by the cameras and the national presence and the nonsensical way that Kanye communicates. But he actually did a lot.
I feel badly
surprised.
For him. I feel badly for him because I think he's very sensitive. I think he's got a big heart. Everybody that knows him, including you, seems to indicate that he is,
I don't know him,
at his heart or at his core, a good guy who sort of is spinning.
I just wonder if he's just a terrible communicator. I think he thinks he's a great communicator through his music, and he may be a genius
man,
in that regard.
Man.
But he's just
sick.
A communicator. I don't know. He didn't say anything that felt sick to me. He just felt nonsensical in the way he's trying to articulate his points to mass cameras and microphones that are in his face in the Oval Office. But at the heart, he went there to telegraph a message to the president about Chicago. And I thought that was interesting.
I get that, and I don't see Trump picking up on it anytime soon. That's unfortunate.
That's true.
Next. Cardinal Wuerl has resigned. This is the Washington Archbishop who is at the center of the Pennsylvania sex abuse case. The Pennsylvania report came out a couple of months ago. and the Catholic Church didn't want to deal with it. Wuerl has put his resignation letter forward. The Pope accepted it. Friday, their time. This morning, our time. But it also comes with a letter from the Pope, which is going to need some explanation because it's very complimentary to Cardinal Wuerl and talks about how he's handled these accusations with, I believe the word is, great dignity.
Cardinal Wuerl resigned. Great. It's done.
Let's go home. Worry about now. Next. Another bad day for the stocks yesterday as the Dow dropped 545 points for a two-day loss of more than 1,300. People are paying more attention to the NASDAQ, which may be near that mythical or maybe not so mythical adjustment phase, a correction of 10% already. And we'll see where it goes today. The overnight markets on the other side of the world seem to have bounced back up as there are a lot of buying opportunities all of a sudden. Next. Dave, who'd the Cubs fire?
They fired Chili Davis.
I know Chili a little bit. He's a good guy.
Yeah, well, he didn't get the job done as hitting coach here.
Doesn't it matter that I think he's a good guy?
Not really. No.
Oh, boy.
I don't think that had any bearing on it at
all.
That's
not the criteria?
No, I don't think so. I think when you have a team that's supposed to be one of the best offensive teams in baseball, and yet they could barely manage to squeak out a run, I think, what, three of their last four games, they only scored one.
Well, they didn't hit a lot during the regular season either.
Well, they, you know, they'd
stretch it.
It was very streaky for them. If you go back to the way they started the season, I think their second or third game of the year after pounding the Miami Marlins the day before, they were shut out. And that was kind of a hint of things to come. It's kind of that way all year where they would score 10 runs one game and then get shut out or score one or two runs the next. And especially in the second half, they really tailed off. So they will have a new hitting coach next year.
I'm just bummed that we lost one of the best 80s baseball names ever, Chili Davis.
Well, and here's the thing. When Chili was with the Twins briefly, that's when I knew him in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we haven't spoken a word to each other since about 1993, but we're close. Trust me. We're close.
Candy
Maldonado would be the other one.
How about Biff Pocaroba? Is he a hitting coach? No?
No, I don't think so.
I would like to know what Biff Pocaroba's doing.
I will get right back to you.
Yeah, get on it. Yep. And finally this, we're live at Mary's Morning Mix-Up.
I love it here.
Nice crowd here. I'm not good at estimating crowds, but I'm thinking there's around 7,000 to 8,000 people here already this morning.
At least.
They're lined up outside.
It's a great menu. Did you look at his menu?
Oh, I heard there's a 45-minute wait a lot of times to get in. Is that true?
How'd you get a menu? I didn't get a menu.
Adam's been looking at it all night.
Oh, you know what? That's the thing.
That explains it.
But that's what surprises me, Dave. There's a bunch of stuff that you'd like here.
Yeah, healthy food, Dave.
I have no doubt.
Because there's regular people food, and then there's Dave.
Is there a kale omelet?
Let's not go crazy.
There's a breakfast omelet that looks amazing. Hey, there's a gallery up at WGNRadio.com already.
How could you have a gallery already? We just got here.
We work fast here on the Steve Cochran Show. So if you go to WGNRadio.com, you can see the pictures of Mary's Morning Mix-Up in Brookfield.
Yeah, you're going to love this place. Yeah, absolutely. 312-91-7200 is the number. We need a caller. Lou's first call. Lou Manfredini joins us next from the studios of Channel 9. And he'll answer a couple of Mr. Fix-It type questions ahead of his show tomorrow. Lou's first caller. Before the show even starts tomorrow, is it going to be you? 312-981-7200.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's first call.
Lou Manfredini, live from Channel 9. How are you, my friend?
I am great. What is the name of the bar that you're at?
It's not a bar.
Oh.
It's a breakfast joint called Mary's Morning Mix-Up. It's one of the coolest places I've been in a long time.
Okay. It sounds like a morning show.
Yeah, it does.
Like a competition. You're working with the competition now, aren't they?
Wait a minute. Is that Eric in the corner over there?
I think he's over there.
Eric Ferguson, why are you hiding?
Mary's Morning. What is the... If I was going to be...
Mary's Morning Mix-Up. If you're going to come out here, you want to know what the specials are?
Yeah.
Hey, Mary, what should Lou order if he comes out?
I'm a big fan of the skillet.
You like the skillet? Oh, he likes the skillets. He's a man.
They do have a nice skillet.
Our number one skillet is Mary's skillet, of course.
Mary's skillet. What's in Mary's skillet?
It's got ham, bacon, sausage, a blend of cheeses.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That's a man skillet. Right
or we have the California skillet, which has a chicken, avocado.
Oh, no,
and do you serve it on a skillet?
Yeah, we serve it in a little skillet.
Skillet pan.
Hash browns on the, skillet pan, hash browns.
So it's like a hot pan, vegetables. Like a cast iron pan. That's
what it is. It's not cast iron.
We've never had a skillet, Lou.
Oh, it's not cast iron.
Lou, we got a gypsy skillet, a Mary skillet, a veggie skillet, an Irish hash skillet, a country, a steak, a chorizo, or
a chorizo. I love the chorizo one. Somebody
California.
Order that and
one,
tell
two,
me
three,
how it
four.
Is.
Eight skillets.
And Portobello Benedict is also another number one
Did
special.
You just call me a name?
Our flatbread. Portobello Benedict.
Portobello Benedict.
That's awesome.
That was your band. Do you serve
our
rye toast?
Our flatbreads are amazing.
How about rye toast?
We got rye toast.
What, are you hungry this morning?
Breakfast is my favorite thing. It's my favorite thing.
Come out to Mary's Morning Mix-Up in Brookfield. 9110 Broadway.
You won't be disappointed.
No, that's true. Absolutely. And thank you for having us.
109.9 Mary's Morning Mix-Up.
Who are you working for,
I
you
know.
Dope?
Is there even a 109.9? I don't even know.
I don't know. Lou Manfredini's with us. There's a delightful woman who's kind of lurking in the back because she doesn't want to make a spectacle of herself because she's not in show business.
Oh.
Who was concerned about me. She was at the New Year's Eve show a couple of years ago where I was really sick and I ended up in the hospital. I just want to tell her and everyone else I've recovered.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been 2 years. So. Thank
it's nice that
much.
She was concerned about you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I wonder how concerned she really was if her first check-in is 2 years later.
No, she made a few calls. As far as I know. At least that's the story I'm putting in my head. All right, we have a nice lady here who's going to ask you a question.
Oh, great.
And again, we do this because it's hard to get into Lou. He's very popular. What is your name?
Sarah.
And Sarah, you're here with your delightful daughter?
Yes, I'm here with my daughter, Emma.
Who was a student of the week like 4 years ago.
She was.
Oh, that's
awesome.
Now
a senior in high school.
And after student of the week, she just coasted. And now she's really struggling.
She did. It's been easy ever since then, thanks to you.
What do you do?
I'm a psychotherapist.
Oh, well, you've got it right. Right.
Can someone move that? Someone who's ever sitting next to Steve, can they move?
You can have my chair.
Welcome to show business. And you have a question for Lou.
Yes. Lou, we're big fans of yours. Also big fans of Mary Morning McClup. We're actually coming tomorrow morning with my girlfriend.
Oh, good.
Great restaurant. And we live in the area, Lou. We're in an old house, 1869. And unfortunately, last week, our house got skunked. We don't know if it climbed in and died or maybe skunked some mice that got in, but any suggestions on how to get rid of that smell?
Wow. Dave, you've had this happen many times. You've been skunked over 1,000 times.
Yes, I have, at least. I don't want to speak for Lou. He may have a better I don't know what to do with the house. Mm. That's the problem. I know what to do with the dog that's been skunked.
Well, you got to bathe the house.
Yeah,
how did you bathe the dog?
Mary, is there a specific part of the house where the odor's coming from you can localize
Sarah.
It? Sarah? I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's one section of the house, a staircase going down into the basement, but there's nothing, no smell outside, just the smell inside.
Okay. We need to.
You sure the skunk's not in the house? It's like a horror movie.
We need to determine and make sure that there's no dead rodents or anything inside there, so that you're going to have to do. You may have to open up a little wall to find out. My good friends at Freshwave make a really good bunch of odor neutralizers, and it's really pretty effective when it comes to skunks as well. They make a spray that you can spray with a, like a squeeze bottle. They also have candles, which sounds kind of funny, but it's the best way to get the odor neutralizing chemical into the air, which is all natural.
Yes. Yeah, and Sarah, Lou's right. Freshwave sent me, after my dog got skunked the first time, sent me a gift pack of de-stinkifiers, it helped.
Since it's your house, she's going to need what, Lou, about 500 candles?
No, just a couple of candles.
Oh.
Buy a couple of the spray bottles, and then they also make this crystal gel that you put in bowls in that area. Within about less than 48 hours, you should be able to control it.
Hey, that'd be great. Thanks.
Otherwise, you have to move.
Yes.
Have you discovered where the skunks are?
Yeah, that's what
problem,
we need to do.
Right?
No, but we have a lot of skunks this year in this area. Mm. There are just hundreds of them.
When you get up in the middle of the night to use the potty or something, do you just go, oh, my God, I don't know where to walk? I'm afraid the little idiots in the house.
Poor Emma, her backpack just reeked of skunk, not knowing it went to school.
It's the worst.
Was not that popular that day.
Oh.
Wow.
Talk about the kid of the
week. Well, thank you for that, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
And by the way, you smelled delightful this morning.
Yeah.
So nice. That's working out for you.
Skunk hunting, that could be a new line of work.
It could be. Dave Ennett, skunk hunter.
Yeah,
no, I want no part of it. Yeah. They serve no purpose.
Yeah, my
I'm
husband
sorry.
Makes a concoction for the skunks, but I won't divulge it.
Well, your husband?
Yes, he's always after varmints in my yard.
Yeah, he's sitting in the garage. Remember that picture of Steve sitting in the garage?
Now he's after the skunks. I said, if I find some skunk under my car in the morning, you're in big trouble.
You know, Sarah's going to win an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat that allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone from American Weather Makers, the 60 Minute Men.
All right.
Call 855-945. 55HVAC.
All right, what are you doing tomorrow on this show?
Can I ask a question of Dave Ennett?
Well, we don't have any more time.
Tomorrow
to
I'm
going to
be doing my show live from Ryan Field for the prior to the Northwestern Nebraska game.
I know, we're very excited about that.
I'm going to be at the end zone. Dave, you know where that's at?
I do know where the end zone is. Yeah. It's right on Central Street, right on the southwest corner of Ryan Field.
So if you have a ticket to the game tomorrow, please stop by. We're going to be there from 7 to 10 in the morning, and it's actually we're doing a fire prevention show, so we're going to be talking a lot about fire prevention since it's October, but we'll also be talking about the Cats in Nebraska, and it should be a fun day. And then I think it's Mark Carmen and... Who else is going to do a quick little pre-game right at
Adam Hogue will be there along with Dan Perso, the former Northwestern quarterback.
So
we're going to have beer and wine there in the end zone.
Is there?
Yes.
Nice. But there's no Mary's skillet.
You guys don't mind if I jump in here and say, thank you, Lou. I will see you on TV in just a moment and see you tomorrow at the Northwestern.
Go to news, will you?
Goodbye. Headlines next at 720 WGN.
Back to Mary's Morning Mix-Up with the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
90 with 10 Broadway Avenue in Brookfield. How's everybody?
Fun. This is fun.
They've gone donut crazy here. They're crazy on the donuts.
It's our own little Cochran Breakfast Club. I love it.
This is great. It's a cool place. You know what this looks like, Mary Vanderbilt? Place. It looks like a Disney joint. With all the colors and stuff?
It's very colorful, and I am especially happy about all the M's everywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
Right, Mary Sandberg? Yeah.
Steve, it's very popular.
I second that on the
M's.
A lot of
friends. We might have to take a few M's home with us.
Ooh. I have a lot of friends in the near west suburbs, and they all speak highly of this place.
I'm going to just come here every day now.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you guys later. The download for Chicago business is something Justin started a while ago to try to focus on Chicago business. We have a sponsor we need to mention?
Yeah, it's sponsored by Signature Bank, and this is really to highlight some of the businesses in our area that are doing good things, but also the CEOs and the leaders of those companies to understand how they run their business and get their story so we can better understand ours.
And Jack Kozakowski is president and CEO of Junior Achievement USA. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Steve.
Nice to talk to you. And in the interest of time here, we want to cut right to the chase because I think there's an interesting topic to kick around with you. The economy has gotten a little frightening in the past couple of days. The market's taken an ugly turn. But you think about teens, which is your business every day in Junior Achievement. What do kids really know about money, and are they going to be ready to retire someday?
Well, Steve, in a recent survey that we conducted in collaboration with AIG, we found out that 70% of the teens said they know nothing or very little about financial management. And in that, maybe more surprising, these kids are worried about their parents. Two-thirds of them believe that their parents are not prepared for retirement.
Jack, when you are talking about Junior Achievement, is the goal to engage with the parents or to directly engage with the teens?
Well, the objective of Junior Achievement is to work with K-12 students. But in doing that, we have a lot of take-home materials that we hope the students will take and share with their parents.
So, but here's the thing, because of what you do every day, if you teach the children, will they teach the adults, or are they unnecessarily worried about the grown-ups who aren't communicating enough with the kids?
Well, we've seen other surveys that tell us that, in general, adults are not ready for retirement, that they put off planning. So I think the students are probably pretty astute in seeing their concerns about their parents.
You know, it's an interesting business because you are trying to get teens engaged, and you talk about K through 12. But I'm only speaking as a former teenager that that's probably not front of mind to think about retirement years off into the distance. So how do you not only motivate or be able to engage with your clients, but how do you motivate your staff to be able to understand what a teen is going through to make this palatable or accessible to them?
Well, that's a great question, and you're absolutely right. Managing money is not exactly a topic that kids are attracted to. And so in all the content that we develop with professional developers that, you know, are kind of aligned with age groups, we make it very age specific. So, you know, if we're teaching students down in the kindergarten level, we start very simple with a savings plan for something that's relevant to them, whether it's a video game, a bike, something like that, and having them achieve success on something on a smaller scale. As the students progress through school, they start getting into high school, we'll talk about an automobile, something that they'd be saving for, and college. So the key to all this is keep it simple and keep it relevant to the age level of the student.
It's interesting stuff, obviously, and it is vitally important. Let's say I had a couple of teens I wanted to send your way today. What would they do to find out what we're talking about, get a little more information?
Yes, our website is really the best place. And in fact, our operation in Chicago is the largest in the world, so you'll find lot of operations going there. But our website is ja.org. And on that site, they can find out how to connect with Junior Achievement right there in Chicago. But there's also lots of information on that site for both students and parents, in terms of managing money, entrepreneurship, preparing for a career.
I guess, Amber, you're the only one on the show that actually owns and operates a teenager.
I do. I have a 14-year-old, Jack, and I have a question for you about maybe a tip I could have on understanding actual money exchange, because she is in a cashless society, basically. Yeah. She goes to Starbucks every day, but they do it on their app, and their app just gets filled from, you know, a bank account.
You don't have to pay for that, do you?
Yeah, she wanted a new pair of pants, and I tried saying, if you don't go to Starbucks for the next 2 weeks, you could buy those pants, and she looked at me like I was
what?
Crazy, because she doesn't see that as paying money out.
Well, that is a common thing that's happening in society. I mean, my own children are grown, and nobody looks at their check register anymore. They even keeps track of it. They rely on the bank to do that. But we still believe that fundamentally teaching a young person about budgeting, the fact that you can't spend more than you earn, is critical to understanding money management. And so, you know, those expenses, those charges do show up somewhere. And it's important that your teen is aware of that. And it really, I mean, to turn this to the plus side, this gives you a great opportunity to talk to your students about money and where it's coming from and how it's paid for.
It's a download for Chicago Business. Jack, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on.
Enjoy your weekend. Again, sponsored by?
Sponsored by Signature Bank.
And thank you to Signature Bank, fine partners of this show and this radio station. My favorite radio station, by the way, 720 WGN. And I've listened to all of them.
Got a lot of props on the...
It's Morning Mix-Up.
Say that three times fast.
Mary's Morning Mix-Up. Mary's Morning Mix-Up. Mary's Morning... I can't do it. Cochran is on the road on 720 WGN.
We are planning on doing a whole bunch of these breakfast shows all over Chicago, but
we're
going to be hard-pressed to find anything as cool as this place.
How can we top this?
On top of the fact that Mary, the Mary of Mary's Morning Mix-Up, just brought us over a toaster, which apparently toasts hands.
Yes, very Halloween.
It's a Halloween toaster.
Green
a lot
hands,
of Halloween going
I might
on.
Add.
Yeah.
And Pete Zimmerman's like a little kid. He just keeps playing with it.
Yeah.
It was fun reading the Signature Bank read with this in the background.
It's like a Jack in the Box. Remember the Jack in the Boxes used to wind up and the head would pop out? It's like hands popping out of a toaster.
I don't know if this is an exclusive. Can you buy this somewhere? Because people are going to want it now that we mentioned it.
I don't know.
As seen on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. come on, see us. 9110 Broadway Avenue, Brookfield. It's Mary's Morning Mix-Up. Not a morning show. An actual breakfast establishment. And by the way,
smells
a great neighborhood joint. You know what I mean?
It's got that feel.
Yeah.
Plus.
Yeah, the locals probably take all the tables when us outsiders come over. Where are we going to sit? That's why you have to do a show. Get out. Get out, sit
outside,
on the sidewalk.
Outside, yeah. I love that you thought someone said pointed outside, and you're like, get out? I should leave. We should leave?
Okay. That's what I normally get.
We did have a regular come by here a second ago, and he came up to the table to say hi, and we thought it was, it's nice. You listen to radio. He's like, no, you're in my spot.
Right.
We took his spot on the side.
That's something that would really bother me. If I like a routine. If I came to my place and can't sit where I want to sit because there's a radio show here, I'd be very frustrated.
Say reserve.
I've never felt more welcome.
Steve, have you ever seen anything more engineering-ish? Our head engineer is sitting there with a pile of donuts and some pancakes.
Yeah.
You know what? You've become one of them. I thought you were different. Now you're one of them. You're an engineer who's only in it for food. Unbelievable. Outrageous.
We're going to talk with Mary coming up in the next hour, but this place is one of a kind. That's so good.
Oh my gosh, look at what's coming out of the kitchen. It was like little apple pies with ice cream on top, I think.
Oh my gosh.
Apple pancakes in front of us. I got Halloween pancakes. What's in front of you
there? This is chorizo flatbread. That's what I'm having.
Don't you call me names.
Hey.
Chorizo flatbread. I
mean, avocado on the top. The
menu's really great. Dave, a little avocado for you there?
I may have some avocado, probably not right the second.
Oh,
but
don't
later.
Fill up on avocado, Dave. There's so much more to offer.
Avocado's great, Steve.
I'm with you, Dave.
Yeah,
I always got Dave's back with the greens.
Coming up next hour, we've got Coach Fitz to preview tomorrow's Northwestern Nebraska.
Good news, Super Joe is going to be in the booth with Dave Bennett again this week. What? And so last week he was in the booth and they beat Michigan State. So
good luck charm.
Super Joe is a good luck charm, so he's guaranteeing a win.
Oh, by the way, Super Joe, I told you I'd pay for your parking at Northwestern. Remind me, I owe you $8.
You didn't pay for my parking.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, me either, and I parked right next to you.
Should have asked ahead of time.
Dan Hampton will join us next hour on the Bears this weekend, the Bears in Miami. Does it feel like 1985 on a Monday night to you? Not so much.
Because I think the Bears will win on this Monday night. Except it's Sunday.
Sunday at noon.
If the game were Monday night, they would win.
Marilyn Ryska will be on a little bit later. Who is she?
Of course, she's Chloe from 24.
Remember this? Damn it, Chloe! If you watch 24 once, you heard it 10,000 times.
She's coming to Wicker Park to do stand-up. She's a stand-up comedian. It's funny, she's known for her life for that role as Chloe, but she has done a lot
cinnamon rolls.
Of work.
Oh, my goodness. A whole tray of cinnamon rolls just
went by. Oh, my gosh. Look at the whipped cream.
We got food ADD here on the show today.
Oh, my gosh. Look at the whipped cream. If I had a nickel for every time I heard that. And John C. Reilly, one of America's great actors, a Chicago finest type. And we love John. Hadn't been on the show in a while, so he'll be on later as well. All coming up on 720 WGN, where Steve Grzanich is live in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next.
The Steve Cochran Show live from Brookfield at 9110 West Broadway Avenue at Mary's Morning Mix-Up. Now on 720 WGN.
Real artistry coming out of this kitchen. Yeah. I'm not being flip at all. The stuff they're making back there is very cool, very colorful, very theme-based.
Super cool. Joe's got it right with the song Good Enough by Cyndi Lauper. It is definitely good enough here.
It's excellent. Mary's Morning Mix-Up. Super Joe, I just wanted to let you know Super Joe's back at the tower. You're missing a great breakfast.
Ha-ha. Aw, poor Joe.
Oh, right. Joe.
Hey, Todd, do you know where I can find the two-week notice things?
We're going to remember this. We're going to remember this.
It's 7-11, and Coach Fitz joins us now. Kurt, first off. What's up, Coach? Thank you for coming out and saying hi the other day. I don't know if you were walking between meetings and or trying to avoid us and just stumbled on us, but it was very nice of you to come out.
Well, I heard there were some recruits out in the Ryan Fieldhouse that I might want to come out and take a look at. You know, athletically superior to maybe some of the guys who were recruiting. And then I got out there, and I'm not going to lie, I was pretty disappointed. You know, it was.
You were disappointed. They were my people. I was watching them.
I was talking about the coaching. I thought it was terrible.
You're right. You know what? I can't blame you for that either. But the Ryan Fieldhouse. And Dave, I told you last spring I wanted to see this beautiful Ryan Fieldhouse, and you kept giving me the wrong address. And finally I got to see this palace. It's just unbelievable. The resources for the athletes, the you know, everything from the equipment to the facilities. To the staff, you mentioned it the other day, and it's on the video online. There's no place better in the country, as far as I know.
Yeah, we went around. The crew went around and saw the Walter Athletic Center, and obviously had a chance to work out a little bit in Ryan Fieldhouse. But it really is spectacular, and I just wonder. Pat, if sometimes you sort of look around there, and do you have that kind of pinch me moment and say, man, look where we are now. Look where this place is.
Yeah, every day that I walk in there, I don't think that's going to change. You know, we're very grateful. We're incredibly thankful. And, you know, it'll be fun this weekend with homecoming. We're going to honor the 2008 Alamo Bowl team. It's seems like yesterday, but that's it's been 10 years since that team.
Wow.
And that was our first, that was this, you know, my staff, that was our first bowl team. And, you know, a really special group of men, and excited to see them. C.J. Boucher is going to be our honorary captain. And, you know, we're looking forward to seeing all those great men back here for homecoming.
How about that? Seniors from that team, coach, are now in their early 30s. That doesn't make you feel old at all, does it?
Yes, it does. Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, though.
Evidently not.
it's great. No, it's exciting to see them. And some guys I see frequently, and other guys, you know, have moved outside of Chicagoland. And now to get them back here home in Evanston will be a blast.
This weekend, you got a defense coming off this win against Michigan State that was beyond impressive in that second half. You want to talk mob? That was a mob. That was a mob taking care of that business. Tremendous. How do you get the offense to that level this weekend?
Well, you know, first of all, I thought, you know, we were able to move the ball at times a week ago, especially through the air. I thought Clayton had probably his best game of the year, and had some big plays from Kyrick McGowan, J.J. Jefferson, Cam Green. You know, we're going to need to continue to do that. But for us to, I think, become consistent, we got to get the run game going, and hopefully we'll be able to get that going against Nebraska.
You know, since we were talking, since Steve brought up the whole age thing, and it dawned on me that, you know, I used to broadcast games when you had a running back by the name of Damian Anderson, who was the all-time leading rusher at Northwestern up until Justin Jackson broke his record last year. And now, last week, I called his son carrying the football for him. And, I mean, that's got to be, and of course, Damian's been a great supporter of your program. That has to be cool to be coaching a guy whose father did so much for the program.
Unbelievable, Dave. It's spectacular. Fired up for Drake. You know, obviously with us losing Jeremy Larkin, we're kind of going running back by committee now for the next 6 weeks. And, you know, it was Drake's opportunity. We're also taking advantage of the new NCAA redshirt rule where any of our freshmen can play in four games. Actually, it's any point in your career until your senior year, but you can play in four games and you can still redshirt, which means sit out for the year and get the year back at the end of your career. So Drake's got three more at a minimum that will get him out there. And, you know, I thought he provided a spark, but we'll see how things progress here the last half of the season.
Coach, you are in the thick of the Big Ten schedule. You've got Nebraska this week at Ryan Field. Should be easier because they're winless, but at the same time, you haven't won yet at Ryan Field. What do you have to do to get your guys ready for homecoming and for an opponent that even though they haven't won, is formidable?
Yeah, you know, they've lost basically, you could say, four undefeated teams. I know a couple of them have won losses, but they were tough losses. So we're playing a very talented team. You know, number one, we just got to continue the momentum that we, I think, started a couple weeks ago, Ryan Field. We ended up on the short end, but I thought we played really well. I thought our student section was rocking, and it was a really good atmosphere. So my hope is that we'll have, you know, great support here tomorrow morning, and we'll give that awesome group of fans a lot to cheer about.
Our conversation with Coach Fitz brought to you by Land Rover Northfield. It's been a great series, I think, since they came into the Big Ten. You've played seven times, but it's weird. The visiting team has won six of those, and the one loss was on a Hail Mary. I mean, it's kind of one of those fluky things. I'm not sure there's an explanation for it. Do you have any idea why this series has gone that way?
Yeah, you know, I don't think so, Dave. I don't know if I have anything I can put my finger on. You know, five out of the seven have been one-score games, too. So, you know, they've been really good football games. You know, it's who would have thought when he started calling Wildcat football games that we'd talk about us playing, you know, the vaunted power in Nebraska the way that we have. And I think it speaks volumes to where we're at as a program and maybe some of the, you know, great games have been because we've improved and then you know, some of the other games maybe we've been fortunate in, it's just because maybe they're down a little bit. But they have a great and rabid fan base. We've got a ton of respect for their program and their university and their fans, and I think the feeling's mutual from them. So look forward to the challenge. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's always great to have homecoming and get a ton of our alums back to enjoy their time back in Evanston, and it's an exciting time right here at the middle of the season.
Coach, good luck tomorrow. Dave, kickoff when?
Kickoff's at 11 o'clock, and we actually get going with Lou Manfredini out there at 7 o'clock from the end zone on the southwest corner of Ryan Field, outside on Central.
Great new party area before the game,
yeah,
and after.
Yeah.
Coach, get another one, and go Cats.
Hey, enjoy your guys' breakfast. I don't know what you're having, but I'll take an egg white omelet if you're making any, so sounds good to me.
All right, we'll send that over with a big side of sausage.
It's on the way.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Go Cats. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Coach.
There you go. That's Coach Fitz. And kicker change this weekend.
Yeah, Drew Luckenbaugh will handle the place kicking. The kicker, Charlie Kubander, is out. He's on the injury report. He's out of this game. So,
the cocky kicker? Do we know?
I don't know. That Luckenbaugh kind of has to be one of your favorite names, Justin.
Yeah, I want to know what kind of. There's all sorts of kinds of kickers. There's the guy who looks like he's not an athlete, but he kicks well. But then there's the cocky kicker, like the old punter for the Bears. Sauerbrunn, was it Brett Sauerbrunn?
Todd Sauerbrunn.
Todd Sauerbrunn. Does he roll up his sleeves on his. That's what I want to know. I want to know how cocky the kicker
is. He's been kicking off the last couple of weeks. I haven't noticed anything especially cocky about him, but I will. Keep an eye on that.
I like my kickers with flair.
Am I remembering this right? It was a college, or it wasn't pro. It was a college kicker a few years ago, and his name was like Wide Right or something. It was it's like a terrible name for a kicker.
Jimmy Wide Right.
Oh no, I know who
you're
talking
about.
Yeah,
I do. Right, we'll do some research to figure that out. It was like Bob Must Miss Thomas, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and again, Coach Fitz sponsored by Land Rover Northfield.
Back to Mary's Morning Mix-Up.
You ain't got no pancake mix
with the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Our most important person on the planet, our most valuable person on the planet, coming up in just a second, as soon as we can get her to stop for a second.
She's being distracted by the other Mary.
Stand by 1 second before we get to that. Now, there's a major story that is brewing that's going to take a good portion of the news time over the weekend, and that's this missing reporter from the Washington Post, who is believed to have been murdered in the Saudi embassy. In Turkey, and there is the Turkish government now claiming they have audio and video that confirms that. Question is, what does the president do about it? Just know that's going to be a big story today.
Confirms that it was Saudi officials that did the killing.
That's the alleged situation from Turkey, but it's bad all over.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's going to suck up a lot of the news time today, along with obviously the beginning of the recovery from Hurricane Michael.
I also have one other big story. It's our boss, Stephanie's birthday.
Hey!
Stephanie!
Happy birthday, Steph.
But who's going to go get the cookies? She always orders cookies. Oh, she can't get her own cookies.
I hope somebody did that for her.
I would hope.
Can you imagine she does all that work for us and nobody goes and returns the favor to Steph?
This morning I sent her a picture of me blowing out candles for my birthday last time at WGN.
That's your present for her?
That's my present.
Oh, that's sweet.
I'm sending an email right now to cover my butt.
Yesterday, I said, what's your birthday tomorrow? Are you going to be coming by the show? And she goes, do I have to? And I go, well, it'd be nice. So that was my present, that she get to come out to this show.
Would you want that if it was your birthday and someone said, you should come to the remote place we're working?
I bet you Mary would bake her something really nice.
No, but the difference is I like birthday. Steph. That's the difference. All right. At 7:27, how about a hand for the boss here at Mary's? At Mary's Morning Mix-Up.
Yes.
I'm going to be honest with you, Mary. We go to a lot of places. We get to see a lot of things. And some of them, I love your joint.
I know. I'm crazy. I do lots of weird stuff. But it's super exciting. Every holiday, every Mother's Day, Father's Day, we're dressed. Mother's Day is Moomoo's. Father's Day, we did plumber's t-shirts this year with a butt crack.
Oh, sweet.
Christmas, we're elves. This year, Halloween, we will be Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
This is right up her alley.
This is great.
Steph, you got to come out and meet Mary.
It's pretty cool.
Your menu is very impressive.
Thank you.
I don't know who's chefing back there, but they really are an artist.
It's my recipes. I put everything together.
Wow.
And I always say, I know if I'll eat it and I like it, 99% of the time my customers love it.
We got some rabid regulars here.
Yes, we do.
The right kind of folks. How long have you been open here?
November 3rd will be 3 years for us here in this location.
Congratulations.
Yes. Mary, this is you've been open, as you said, for 3 years. Talk about the Brookfield community and being right here and what it means to be a small business in this town.
Love Brookfield. it's comforting. It's everybody knows everybody, and especially me now being into my third year. It's unbelievable.
And do we need to say anything to the town council or their mayor to help you out? Everybody's good?
Hopefully the mayor will be here this morning. I invited him. I invited the chief. So hopefully they will make an appearance and stop in. They're all excited to have me on their team in the neighborhood because we've gotten a lot of exposure.
No doubt. And a lot this morning. And I met your delightful husband.
Yes.
And your staff here is tremendous. Is there anybody you want to highlight?
I'm truly blessed with all of my staff, from Angela, my manager, my husband, who always sticks by me with all the crazy stuff that I do and last minute things that I come up with, my cooks in the kitchen, my bakery. I mean, I'm truly, truly blessed to have an amazing staff.
Why a breakfast place? What was it about the culinary pursuit?
All my life, always work breakfast.
Really?
It's hard getting up in the morning, but once I'm up and going, at least after 3 o'clock, I still have some sort of life.
That's a very good point. So like breakfast has never been hotter. When you opened 3 years ago, it's right in the middle of the trend.
That's right, yes.
Man, nothing fools you. It's like Stephanie, our boss, and Mary, they're like sisters from a different mother. They're the same people.
For the listeners who haven't seen the pictures at WGNradio.com yet, Mary is wearing a spiderweb poncho that has a spider crawling on it, but it's very cute. It might sound a little spooky.
Where do you get your theme stuff?
Anywhere and everywhere.
Stephanie.
Yeah.
Channeling stuff. But thank you for having us. Yes. And
thank you. We're super excited. It's so amazing.
We love promoting a great local business, and that's
thank
what you are.
Thank you.
There you go. All right. Give it up for Mary.
Mary's Morning Mix-Up. Cool logo, too.
Yes, Brookfield, Illinois.
Sign out there?
Yeah.
I'm going to compliment her on one other thing, and I don't want to compliment her directly on this, but and it's something like the plumbing is great. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but you go into a men's room, and you like when there is a urinal.
Yeah.
You like when there is one, you know, for a stand-up, because you can get in there and get out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
And they got a urinal in there, and I thought, they got everything here. This is like Disneyland. They got the great food, the great setup, the great colors. They got Mary, and they got a urinal in the men's room. Ah, oh, come on.
Steve loves the attention to detail. He's a detail guy. So,
So congrats on your plumbing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Probably don't get that one a lot.
No.
We'll be back with your headlines in just a second at 7:20 WG. Oh, no break. That's right. Oh, we're so on time, it threw me off again. Time now for Steve Grzanich to update us on what is ever is happening in the world.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on the road. This morning, live from Mary's Morning Mix-Up, 9110 West Broadway Avenue in Brookfield. Stop by and enjoy the fried donuts.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And enjoy Friday on 720 WGN.
Just a matter of fine memory, you're United States Navy.
Yeah, welcome.
You said that Mary's
Morning Mix-Up.
He didn't just say it. He basically gave you an order.
He ordered me, and I listened. Yeah. That Mary and Mary's Morning Mix-Up is very veteran-friendly here and a big supporter of our service branches of all kinds. So thank you for that, sir, and thank you for your service. Mary's Morning Mix-Up. Someone texted her just said, I thought that was the name of a segment where Mary makes you do the show outside. No, it's the name of this fabulous breakfast joint.
And, yeah, Brookfield, Illinois.
Yeah, 9110 Broadway Avenue, Brookfield. Before we get to the great Dan Hampton, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com, Steve Grzanich, I feel like I owe you an apology.
Uh-oh.
We've been talking about food all morning. Yeah. Steve is vice president of food on the show.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so are we sending any food to Grzanich?
our engineer did, our head engineer Bill left with some containers of food.
But those were all for Joe.
That's no, I think said. Those were all for Bill. I think it was just lunch.
That's a good point. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
Lunch and
that's
dinner. Right.
I've already eaten a couple
so
of scripts.
So here we go.
Oh, wait. Oh, you have? Tabitha's here. She could bring
no, some. I've already eaten a couple of scripts this morning. A couple of newscasts.
Oh, you're starving.
So, yeah, eating paper.
All right, we're going to photo zap you the menu, and you can just order everything on it. But just accept my apology for not thinking of you first when it comes to the food.
Yeah, I'm not sorry.
We're going to muddle through somehow. We'll make it. Thank you, though, for the apology. Appreciate that.
Dan Hampton's with us, the great Dan Hampton, as we continue to live in this odd place that we're in where the Bears are in first place. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, you're exactly right. This is a wonderful surprise to wake up in the middle of October and Bears be in first place with an exciting game on the road. By the way, it sounds scrumptious where you guys are. If you guys are worried about bringing food someplace, don't forget we'll be in the studio on Sunday. So, you know, bacon and waffles, two of our major food groups, were always welcome to see.
You know, the thing, Hemp, is this lovely woman, Mary's only been in business 3 years, and I think it's a volume problem when it comes to UOB and Cuz. Where you going to put her out of business by the time we feed you three?
Well, you know, Brookfield, great area. I did a Chevy spot there one time at the zoo with the monkey cage. Well, we add your own joke there.
Exactly.
We had a lot of fun.
All right, so Miami Bears. First off, let me take you back to a Monday night in 1985 and tell you that this
why would
is,
you do that?
Well,
the crowd is not happy with
because
that.
It's my show. Back to a Monday night in 1985 and remind people it's nothing like that. And maybe a little payback this morning, or this weekend, I should say. That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Well, it would. And let me just say this. You know, what is it now, 30 years later, and maybe the most memorable loss of all time, especially in the state of Illinois, but there were a lot of contributing factors. But, you know, I got to tell you, I've looked at this game up and down, and this is a game, the Bears, we match up pretty well. And, you know, Ryan Tannehill is as good as you'll let him be. You know, in Cincinnati last week, they had a 17-0 lead, and then all of a sudden, they lose their offensive tackle, and then the pressure gets in on him, and he turns over the ball twice for clown car turnovers for touchdowns. And next thing you know, they get blown up. So this is exactly the type of offense where the defensive line, Khalil Mack and Leonard Floyd, they could really wreak a lot of havoc. But if you don't come off the ball and you kind of just going through the motions, they're good enough where they can find a way to win. They were 3-0 before they went on the road for two losses. Now they think this is their statement game. Well, they made one 30 years ago against us. Let's hope they don't do it again this weekend.
You know, I love the way you put that. He's as good as you let him be. I've never put it that way, but that's great. That's great for any quarterback who gets the time in the NFL to throw the football. You got to shut him down, Dave.
But it Hemp would seem to play into the Bears' hands in terms of you have an injury at left tackle for Miami, where whether he plays or not is still a little bit iffy. But it's just to have any kind of uncertainty up front offensively for Miami would just feed into what the Bears do best. And I got to think that we've seen them play so well to this point. We're only through the first quarter of the season. What's the next step for this group as a defense? How can they actually take it up a notch from here?
Well, if they do, it's going to be almost historic. As you know, right now they're allowing just a shade over 16 points a game, and that's good for number two in the entire NFL. They've got 18 quarterback sacks, 8 forced fumbles, 8 interceptions. Wow. Those are great numbers. And can they continue it? Well, that's the whole idea. But you know, you asked about the offensive line. How much of a factor will that be? You know, we used to say this all the time. An offense only has to be good one play. If they throw an 80-yard bomb for a touchdown, boom, that's good. But defense, you got to be good every play. You can't, give up,
10 yards of play all the way down the field. You could stop them three times. They go forward on fourth and throw it for 20 yards, and then you got another series of downs. So the offensive line, it's the same thing. You can find a weak link or a backup, as you said, the left tackle. They're supposed to have a couple other offensive linemen. I think Slauson and the center may be out. So this could turn ugly on the Dolphins early. But if we're not in a position where we're coming off the ball and getting after people and letting him make plays, then it'll go as long as you let it go. And it's almost like a preseason game. If you don't go out there and take care of business early, then you can get into the second half or fourth quarter of a white knuckler. But now you're saying, what the hell are we doing? So this is a game we can take care of if we'll go out there and do what we're supposed to do early. But let's talk real quick about Mitchell Trubisky. And I know it was a small sample size, one game against Tampa Bay and their horrible defense. But I got to tell you, everywhere I go, the gas station, the grocery store, the football practice, whatever, everybody wants to talk about, oh, my God, has Trubisky turned the corner? And that's going to be what I think everybody's going to tune in at 12 o'clock on Sunday. They want to see, yeah, the defense has been great, and we applaud them. But everybody wants to see, was it for real or was it a mirage? We're going to find out.
Hamp, it's interesting because we talked about 30 years ago with the Dolphins, but what's probably a better storyline for this season is that the offensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins is Dowell Loggins, who was the offensive coordinator last season for Mitchell Trubisky's rookie year. This is the season where we saw Mitchell Trubisky hand the ball off for 14 games. Talk about that. Do players get up to play their former coaches to prove, make a statement? Does Mitchell Trubisky know he's going against Dowell Loggins and his former coaching staff?
You know, I really think it does matter. And I think the intimacy of knowing the players so closely. Okay, Dowell Loggins may have the title of offensive coordinator, but it's really Adam Gase. You know it, I know it. So Adam Gase, when he left here, he knows certain things about the offensive line, the receivers, you know, certain things that they don't like. You know, a lot of receivers do not like it when you come up and take the inside away, make them, you know, go a certain route. And so little things like that, you know, they accumulate. But I think more than anything else, Dowell Loggins knows what Mitchell Trubisky cannot cope with. And is that pressure in his face? Is it certain safety reads? Is it, you know, in and out coverage with the corners playing games? Or what does he know about Vic Fangio and how Vic Fangio likes to adjust to certain things? So you're right. Familiarity breeds contempt, especially in the NFL. So there's going to be a lot of chess matches going on behind the scenes here when this thing kicks off because, you know, Dowell Loggins thinks he knows everything there is to know about our offensive personnel. Well, he didn't know enough to score enough to keep his job last year. Let's see what he knows this week.
But see, here's the other part of that. Don't you think Mitch Trubisky, you always want to do well against your former coach, teacher, your former boss. I mean, you want to go out in there and give a good representation. He wants to look good in front of those guys and in front of Loggins. So,
no, what Dave is saying, Hamp, is you want to shove it up his behind.
Well, it may not be a personal thing, but yeah. So,
well, and okay, and those are all wonderful motivating factors. I applaud all of them. But will that happen? And again, you know, this offense, it's, I don't want to say in its infancy, but, you know, the big hue and cry out of Hallis Hall this weekend is Jordan Howard. He's upset. He wants to be traded. Will they trade him? Blah, blah, blah. You know, all this, it's all going to work itself out. We may just run the ball all day. Who knows? You know, I mean, we physically, I think, are better than the Dolphins across the line of scrimmage. So why not just keep it simple, stupid, and run the ball? But you never know. So, again, it's going to be a fascinating game. And for the first time all year,
OB and Kaz and I will be on at 3 o'clock immediately following the game.
There you go.
Where it normally should go from noon to 3. So we're excited about, you know, finally getting in our groove.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think the long-term test here is going to be if Matt Nagy stops playing EA Sports Madden 1918, whatever year it is, does mix it up and does run the football a little more. All right, we've got to make our prediction, starting with Dave Ennett.
I'm going to go Bears 24, Dolphins 17.
Justin?
I'll say Bears 38, Dolphins 10.
Sandberg?
I'm going 14-14 tie. Oh.
And I'm going blowout again, Hamp. I'm going blowout again. Bears 27, Dolphins 7.
I like it. 31-10. I'll take it again. And here's the thing. You know, what is Norman Greenbaum, Curtis Mayfield, Looking Glass? What do they all have in common with Mitchell Trubisky?
I don't know what.
So far, they're one-hit wonders. Let's see if we can do it twice.
I hope you appreciate the friendship that I set that up. That's the great Dan Hampton, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Hello.
Back to Mary's Morning Mix-Up.
Who do you think you're talking to?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
See, this is why we... Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It's getting rush hour in here. This place is packed.
Yeah, the joint's jumping.
There's just a cake that went by that looked amazing.
Right.
What
all
is
the food
that?
Looks amazing.
I know, but what?
It's amazing. It's a cheesecake of some sort?
Lemon meringue cake,
lemon meringue.
Her number one selling cake.
Oh, lemon meringue cake.
It has a powdered sugar top.
But see, this is why we can't have nice things.
Why?
So we come out here, and Adam, our engineer, does a great job. He announces he's not a breakfast guy. He prefers a cheeseburger and
but
fries.
But he ate breakfast.
Wait, he had pancakes.
He already had breakfast.
No, I know.
No, he had a flatbread.
Oh, pardon me.
He had a flatbread. And then suddenly from the kitchen comes a waitress trying to smile as she brings Mr. Demanding his cheeseburger and fries.
And a bowl of soup. He had a bowl of soup.
Unbelievable.
I don't know where he's putting it.
Well, he has been here since 1 o'clock in the morning, so this is like dinner.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right,
I'm going to enjoy it.
You know what a big deal it is to reconfigure the grill back there? They got stuff going on. They got a system.
I want a piece of this cake, and I'm going to justify eating it right now because it's our boss Stephanie's birthday.
Oh, good point. Yeah. So. Yeah, Brookfield Chief of Police is here.
Yeah, how about it?
And thank you, sir.
Looking sharp. That's a sharp uniform. There's so many. It feels like half the town of Brookfield's in here.
He got an ovation when he walked in the restaurant.
He's a very popular guy. Listen, all these people have tickets are sucking up to you. Is that the deal? Sounds like it. Also, The Haunt.
The Haunt, yes.
Is right down the street here at 3211 Harrison Ave. And if you're going to do anything this Halloween, go to The Haunt.
Yeah.
How about that?
Brookfield Zone.
All the Halloween-themed decorations. Yeah, flowers and everything else. Betty from Betty's Florist is here. She does the flowers here. Thank you, Betty, for that.
How about that? You got every town needs those three things: a chief of police, a florist, and the haunted house guy.
Sounds like a setup for a joke. Dismissing a penguin in a bar. All right, now, we just talked to Hamp. Earlier on, we talked to Fitz. What does that mean? What do they both do? What's the similarity? What business are they in?
They both wear tight-fitted shirts.
There's that, but I was thinking more the fact that they're both in football.
Oh, right.
And here we are going into week 6 of the NFL season.
How about
Have we started our fantasy football situation yet?
Any day now.
I think we're not
What happened
doing
to
it?
That?
I missed the wang-dang-doodle.
Remember last week I made Pete vice president of fantasy football?
Yeah, we're being patient. Pete. We're being patient, Steve.
Pete, where's the guest microphone? Pete, grab the guest microphone and tell us all the exciting work you've done this week when you weren't being hit in the crotch at Northwestern in a terrible accident. All the work you've done on our fantasy football game, which you're going to roll out next week for week 7.
I've done a lot of thinking about it. I really have.
I don't doubt that. Who doubts that?
Mostly on changing the name. I'm not a fan of the Wang Dang
that.
Doodle name.
Okay, but here's why you're not a fan. Because you're frightened of Mary Sandberg.
She's very
Aren't
persuasive. Yeah.
What about the commissioner? I think you should be more afraid of Commissioner Orion Samuelson, who's in charge of the Wang Dang Doodle.
I'm not familiar with the genesis of the name, so...
I just thought one day it would be funny to hear Orion Samuelson say the words wang, dang, and doodle.
That is very funny.
Yeah, so that's where it came from. So what are your plans? Can you announce them yet, or you're still formulating?
I'm still formulating, but so I could use your help. So what I'm thinking is that each person on the staff here
yes.
picks one player.
Yes, I love it. Love it.
One player.
Love it.
On what team?
Any team.
Tom
Brady. Game. Anybody not in a bye.
Drew Brees.
And whoever gets the most points wins. The listener will pick a staff member, an ensemble member.
No.
What do you mean points? Like it has to be an offensive player?
Yeah, it's an offensive player. So, or it could be, I guess it could be a defense.
But if you want to pick the Vikings defense, go right ahead. You'll probably lose.
Yeah.
Oh, unless he is a cornerback.
Maybe not the Bears defense. But are we drafting and are we drafting or would we end up with duplicates?
No,
each week you pick one player.
Right.
No, you can't.
Well, what if we picked
Todd Gurley and you? Okay. Todd Gurley's off the table.
Right.
Nobody else can pick him.
Who?
And
Todd Gurley.
Oh. Manley Gurley? What?
No, Todd Manley is no relation
Manley's
to
our boss. Gurley is a running back for the Rams. Oh.
So then whoever wins picks first the next week, but you cannot pick any of the same players that have been picked. So you have to go down the line.
How are you going to keep track of that?
He's going to score it.
He's going to keep
pen
track.
And paper.
All right.
Are we going to pick picking? On? So we're going to pick on the air then.
We're not picking
yes.
today, are we?
Yes. No.
I have to do research.
Today.
We're not
so,
picking.
Today. Let's pick right now.
No.
So if you pick Gurley, Rodgers,
Tom Brady,
Kamara, Breeze. You can net those guys are gone for
Kamara
the season.
Kamara Breeze is one of my favorite players.
So that means by week 16 we're doing fourth string wide receivers and tight ends.
No, yeah. I think there's enough players, but I think that shows that you need to pay attention to.
What if they get injured the day before?
Then you're out.
Then you're
out. That's another silly thing here. Yeah. These guys get to repick when there's injuries.
No, not at all.
No.
Once the selections are locked in, they're locked in.
Friday. You do it on Friday.
Yeah. You get somebody that gets injured in a bar fight on a Saturday, that's your problem.
No. We should probably do a Thursday since there's a game on Thursday.
Totally agree. I am totally in lockstep.
And what's it called? Wait, what's the title?
The Wang Dang Doodle until we change it.
Okay.
I'll take Trubinsky.
Trubinsky. Thank you for your vote. We're going to come back with the news in just a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Steve Grzanich is next.
It's Mary's Morning Mix-Up.
Say that three times fast.
Mary's Morning Mix-Up, Mary's Morning Mix-Up, Mary's Morning... I can't do it. Cochran is on the road on 720 WGN.
Look at this place.
Yes! The place is full. Look at this. A lot of people might be under the misconception that they're all out here to enjoy fine food.
No, they don't.
No, they're here because we're
here. They're here. They lined up early just to see you, Steve.
That's exactly
right. Not eat waffles and walk in the door and go, why is this table and why is this guy sitting at my table?
Sitting in my space.
This is my spot.
Charlene is here. Charlene runs the yoga studio up the street. I assume you'll be going there to do yoga after the show?
I will be.
Bringing much-needed flexibility to the Brookfield community.
Maybe we should all go.
Do I have the name right? Focus On. Focus On.
It must be a Baptiste studio.
A group outing, Mary?
Flow if
yeah,
a...
group outing.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Group yoga.
Let's go. Did you bring your tights?
No, but I'm extremely flexible.
Your yoga pants?
Even in my regular pants, I'm flexible. standing by is Dean Richards live in New York City as we go to Moron Entertainment. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning. Remember that one year you got called into HR for doing your own version of Downward Dog in the office?
Right. Well, the problem was that once I got into the position, I couldn't get out. That's where we're at. And people thought I was saluting management.
Right.
All right, so as I understand it, you were in New York to spend some time with Melissa McCarthy, who reported overnight, gave an anniversary present to her husband, which was a senior citizen cell phone. Is he technologically challenged or something?
I've met her husband several times. I don't think that's the case. But you know what? I find that, you know, senior things are very convenient. And if I can get a cell phone with the big numbers on it and the big print and the big everything, I'm going to go for it.
Well, we're getting to a point where it's just going to have one button right in the center. And you hit it and it'll do anything you want it to do. I mean, that's where we're going, aren't we? Come on.
Aren't we pretty much at the point now? All you have to do is, you know, tell your phone, hey, call this number. And,
yeah,
you don't even have to look at the numbers anymore.
All right, so what are you talking to Melissa McCarthy about?
She got a brand new movie that's called Can You Ever Forgive Me, which is a straightaway drama, something that we have not seen Melissa in really before. It's a very interesting story, true story, about a writer who was down on her luck and started forging personal letters from other famous writers and then selling them at, you know, rare bookstores and, you know, things like that, where people, you know, buy historic artifacts from literature. And it's a very, very interesting story, and Melissa's very, very good in it. And it's always good to hang out with our pal from Plainfield, if you will.
Right. Is this a new turn in her career? Will we be seeing more dramatic roles now?
I'm going to find out if this is the intention, but I would doubt it. You know, she's so good at comedy, and that's where her roots are. I think, you know, like any artist, they just want to do different things all the time. It's like when you did that Summer of Shakespeare in the Park. Remember that? Creative person just needs a new challenge.
You've got to have places you can go to exercise your artistry.
I love that Melissa McCarthy's in New York. Maybe she'll show up on SNL, then Seth Meyers hosts tomorrow night. Maybe we'll see a little Melissa McCarthy.
That is very possible that that could happen, because some of her best performances have been when she's been on Saturday Night Live.
I'd like to see her with Sean Spicer, the former press secretary. The two of them together would be fantastic.
That was so funny. Remember that with the podium that rolled around the studio?
The motorized podium. All right, anything we should be paying attention to in show business this weekend? More on entertainment needs to know.
I think, you know, it's the Kanye story today, right? Kanye / soon-to-be Attorney General of the United States West. That you know, meeting with the president yesterday, and you know, people are talking about that. It is what it is. I don't really have any comments about it at all, mostly because I don't want to spend the weekend answering hate mail. So,
but there's nothing you can say. You know, you'd start dropping mother effer bombs in the Oval Office, and you once again have taken it down a notch. And how much lower can you go? The movie of the weekend to see is what?
Day there. New movies, did you say, for the weekend? Because we've got tons of those. We have the the astronaut movie, First Man, that stars Ryan Gosling, directed by Oscar winner Damien Chazelle. The two of them together gave us La La Land a couple of years ago. Claire Foy stars in the movie also. Gosling playing Neil Armstrong, and it's a story that leads up to the landing on the moon of Apollo 11. So it takes you back maybe 12, 15 years in Neil Armstrong's personal life and his career, and what he went through, what his family went through, leading up to him being the first man to walk on the lunar surface and giving us one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. It's a very interesting historical narrative in this story, because Neil Armstrong was so famously private, so we really didn't know that much about his family. So Damien Chazelle and Ryan Gosling working with Neil Armstrong's real sons in telling the story and giving us some behind the scenes of what it was like and the effect that it had on their home life and their family life, what it was like having Neil Armstrong as a dad. But also Damien Chazelle, I think, giving us kind of a new way of looking at space movies. This is maybe the most visceral look at a space movie that we have ever seen. And, you know, there have been plenty of them. I think one of the best, Tom Hanks, Apollo 13. And I think in terms of the nuts and bolts of movie making, of actually giving you the feeling of what astronauts really went through, this movie takes it above and beyond that. That's why I'm telling people to see this on as big a screen as possible. If you can see it at a true IMAX theater, you'll really get an extra special treat, because the scenes toward the end of the movie where they land on the moon and they walk on the moon, and yes, by the way, have flags planted on the moon for people who have been screaming and yelling that there are no flags in this movie and that it's unpatriotic and so forth.
Ridiculous.
There are flags all
see,
over
as you've
movie.
Said many times, see the movie.
Yeah, before you complain about something, you know, get some first-hand knowledge about it. That's been very interesting to me. But there are flags all over this movie. But that the lunar scenes itself were actually shot with IMAX cameras.
In outer space.
70, millimeter cameras. They actually went to the moon to shoot those final scenes. But because they're on 70 millimeter IMAX cameras, the scope of the movie opens up, and it's on that six-story tall IMAX screen, completely filling it up, and it's awesome to see.
And are you on a Radio Sunday?
I am on the Radio Sunday. I'm going to be talking with Gosling and Chazelle, but also Neil Armstrong's two sons, Mark
and
Rick.
Very cool.
And we'll talk more about that. Dean's List, a movie. I really liked it quite a bit.
Excellent. And one texter wants to know, as we let you go here, how much whiskey you've been drinking?
How much apparently whiskey have I been drinking?
Apparently you sound like you got the whiskey voice this morning.
No, I did just wake up a little while ago, but I have not had any whiskey actually in quite a few years. So,
first step to a cure is admitting you have a problem.
I'm really, apparently I'm not at that step yet. I didn't know I had the WNUA voice on.
Yeah, sounding very, very Sam Elliott. Well done by you.
Really nice.
All right, buddy, have a great weekend.
All right, see you later.
There you go. And Mary Lynn Reiskub, in town to do stand-up.
Yeah.
Next, Mary
Lynn
Reiskub.
Show live from Brookfield at 9110 West Broadway Avenue at Mary's Morning Mixer.
Hey.
Now on 720 WGN.
Welcome.
Another live right now.
Welcome back.
She dropped.
Mary Lynn Reiskub is doing stand-up in town at North Bar. You're just telling me about North Bar.
Yeah, North Bar is a bar in Wicker Park. It used to be a sports bar, I think. And they have just recently, in the last year or so, really invested in comedy. They bring big stand-up names through. I know that Sklar Brothers came on the download and talked about their show. They did a live podcast there. Also, Erica Rhodes, who's...
I saw the Sklar Brothers there.
Did you?
I'm a Sklar Brother fan.
So, yeah, so they have doubled down to become...
It's great.
And I always feel like, if you're familiar with those neighborhoods, Bucktown, Wicker Park, Logan Square, that they are heavy on nightlife when it comes to the culinary industry and bars, but they're not as heavy on theater and performance. You've seen changes with the Den Theater and some other big names have come up in a couple years, but I remember when I was doing comedy, we did a show at North and Damon in the Wing and Groove Theater, which was in the Flatiron Building, and nobody, it was like, they're like, do you do theater over there? Like, it just wasn't a thing. So it's great to see bars actually invest in and bring performances because people want to see that stuff in those neighborhoods.
Well, it's a big investment.
Yeah.
What's the story? Are we going to get her, or are we running into a technical issue here? Mary Lynn Reiskub was on the phone with us.
She was on the phone, and now she's not. Yeah.
Damn it, Chloe!
I know. Just one unknown fact, I worked on a sitcom pilot with her in L.A.
Oh, wow.
Like 6 years ago, called Family Style.
What'd you do for the pilot?
I was in continuity, which is a perfect job for
me. Perfect, yes. Well, you're the person with a clipboard that walks around and goes, no.
She's notably known as Chloe on the show 24, but she is a stand-up comedian, and she has... It's very interesting because I'm doing the research for her. I read a lot of stuff from 2015 where a lot of people just assumed she was a dramatic actress who now is doing comedy. But she goes all the way back to the mid-90s doing alternative comedy. She starred in a couple of music videos, alt-rock bands,
too.
Performance artists.
Yeah.
So she has a long history in comedy, and 24 was the diversion where she actually did drama.
This is fun for me, since she's not on the phone. Let me just say this one more time. Damn it, Chloe!
I think people think she's only a dramatic actress because she has one of those resting, somewhat unhappy
drama faces.
Yeah, she doesn't, not a big smiler.
Is that like a resting bitch face?
Yeah, I didn't know. Thank you.
Well, she was just in the movie Night School with Tiffany Haddish and Kevin Hart, and she continues to do a lot of work.
My Catherine
too.
Saw that over the weekend, and she said it's the funniest movie she's seen this year.
That's great.
You know what? With her frame of reference, I'm sure she's telling the truth.
Well, you know what? We plugged her enough. We'll move on.
Mary Lynn Reiskub. Great times talking to you, Mary Lynn. She'll be at the
North Bar.
Yeah, we'll get the plug out for her. Maybe it was our fault. I doubt it.
She's Saturday night at North Bar in Wicker Park.
Saturday at 7 o'clock, 1637 West North Avenue. Two shows at North Bar. If you go to either one of them, ask her why she didn't call us back. And we're back with the headlines.
No,
we're going straight,
to the headlines.
Sponsored by Midwest Laundries. And then we got somebody from the Brookfield Zoo here who apparently got me a room. Huh? All right, so stand by for that. He'll join us in a moment, too.
You ain't got no pancake mix!
With the Steve Coppin Show on 720 WGN.
All right, it's 8:40. We're live at Mary's Morning Mix-Up.
This place is berserk. Look at everybody having breakfast. I love it.
Thank God the police are here, because we're going to need some crowd control.
I'm ready for second breakfast now.
I want to say hi to Denise and Linda. Is it Tischler?
Dennis.
Dennis Tischler. Dennis!
How do you know he's not transitioning? It could be Denise.
<I don't know. laughs>
Dennis and Linda Tischler. The grocery store right next door here, is that you guys?
Okay,
all right. Good. Fire Chief Mark Duffick was here as well.
Where'd the fire chief? He left already. No, he's in the back. There he is, the village manager, yeah.
Okay. And Lenny from the Share Food, Share Love organization. Thank you, Lenny, as well.
All right, Lenny.
Our friend from the Brookfield Zoo, if you can hang 1 second for us, we have connected with Mary Lynn Reiskamp. This is like reaching the moon in 1968. This is a major technological achievement. Thank you, Mary Lynn, for being persistent in calling back. We appreciate the effort.
I feel like I should be there with you.
Well, you should, because the food's great.
Yeah, I'm hungry. Right?
I saw you do comedy, I don't know, it had to be 3, 4, or 5 years ago. It was the last time you were on. Are you touring now regularly?
I am doing a special show in Chicago. Yeah, I'm not really touring much, but I'm acting as well. I'm touring irregularly, let's put it that way.
But it's tough rhythm-wise. I know this because I only do 4 or 5 shows a year now. It's tough when you're only doing 4 or 5 shows a year because you don't have that daily grind. Stand-up's all about repetition.
Yeah, that's true. I've been doing a ton of stuff in town in Los Angeles to prep for the shows that I do uptown. But we're getting there. I'm hoping to maybe do like once a month, a weekend out, maybe once or twice a month. But yeah, starting in Chicago, really excited. But
Marilyn, you're going to be at North Bar coming up tomorrow night. You have had a lot of success, of course, on television and films, which you saw in Night School. Does that career, is it get in the way of doing stand-up because of the time and the commitment? But it's obviously what you're in Los Angeles for. How do you balance both, being someone who's on television and film and someone who is on stage?
It's not easy because stand-up is a real commitment, you know, and... Also, my family life suffers, you know, when I'm away too much. Actually, my family life does really well when I'm gone just enough.
I wouldn't take that personally. It's just a coincidence.
It just happens that way. No, because, you know, my son and my husband, they get men's time. And they get into their routine, they do things the way they want to do it without mom there. And I get to go and get my crates out on stage and connect with people. I'm always tossing a bunch of balls in the air and trying to figure out what's correct for me.
What do you get most when people see you in airports? Do you get a damn it, Chloe, or do you get something else?
You know, especially that with Night School having just come out, a big broad comedy. I saw a guy who, a TSA guy who was really serious, you know, TSA, and then he sort of lit up when he saw me and he said, "I just saw you last night, Teresa." And he's referring to my character in Night School, and that was exciting.
There you go.
Yesterday on the plane, the flight attendant whispered in my ear. I think she didn't want to show that she recognized me, but she was talking about 24. Usually when people get really kind of feverish, you know, and they say, "We loved you on the show," they mean 24.
Sure, yeah.
Then she referred to an actress that I didn't know who she was talking about, so she knew I was from... She knew I was from 24, and then she referenced some other show with another actress and told me to tell that person hello.
Wow.
And I didn't know what she was talking about, but I just said, "Okay, I will." And that was that.
Yeah, well, that's all part of being a celebrity, when people think you're from another show and you're not, and then the whole thing.
Oh,
listen, take this as a compliment. It's meant to be.
Oh, I
play a lot of good.
If I was Carrie Mason the other day, isn't that from Homeland? Claire Danes?
Same genre, right?
Yeah, right. At least they got the whole thing with attention. I was just going to tell you, take
like when people recognize me, just don't know where it's from, and they just think they know me from carpool.
Right. Yeah, dude, where's my car? They're doing their best. Hey, before we let you go, take this as the compliment. We have a running thing we do on the golf course. I play a lot of golf. And if anybody misses a putt they should make, you all yell out, damn it, Chloe. I don't know why. I just know it happens on golf courses.
I love that.
So,
do I get a residual payment for that? Or
I'm going to send the country club.
I'm going to send you the video. 7 o'clock tomorrow night's first of two shows, 7 and 10:30 at North Bar. And we hope you can make it. Mary Lynn, next time you're in town, we'll connect with you in person.
Thank you. Love
Have
that.
A great day.
All right.
Now our friend from the Brookfield Zoo will join us right after this.
Hello.
Back to Mary's Morning Mix-Up.
Who do you think you're talking to?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Coming up at 9:10. Now, listen, I get this question almost as much as anything else. Hey, you know what happened with Eric and Kathy? I go, well, no, not really.
That's the question you get?
I get it a lot. I really do. Oh, you do the morning show on WGN? Yeah. You know what happened to Eric and Kathy?
You've been in this business for 35, 40 years. You've been entertaining people left and right. I have one question for you.
Do you know what happened to Eric and Kathy?
Eric and Kathy?
So anyway, Kathy Hart and I have the same agent. And the very, very important Steve Mandel. And we have a little announcement about Kathy coming up after 9 o'clock. On this station.
How about it, huh?
So I don't know what happened to Eric.
But you know,
I
what,
know what happened to Kathy.
You know what happened to Kathy.
That's right.
You can half answer that question.
Andre Copeland's here. When people think Brookfield, of course, they think the Brookfield Zoo. It is a world destination. One of the great zoos, not just in America, but around the world. And Andre, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me here today.
You bet.
Brookfield Zoo live in Brookfield. I love
it.
Now, all week long, there were discussions in the morning show meetings that we have about can we have animals at the broadcast. And I tried to explain to them that this is a restaurant.
Yes.
It's probably not good for the animals or for, the image of the zoo.
And also for the people eating here.
Yeah.
So safety first. We want to make sure there's no contamination.
Well, not just contamination. Like, which animal would be safest in this environment if, in fact, we brought one in?
Me?
Okay. All right.
So my idea of having the monkeys go through the pancake batter was not a good idea?
Not a good idea at all.
Footprints? No? All right. Well, I was wrong.
You got a personal fave at the Brookfield Zoo? What's your favorite critter right now? I know it's hard to ask.
Everybody's going to know I'm going to say spiders. Spiders are my favorite animals of all time.
For real?
Nobody
says
that.
For real.
This isn't just a Halloween thing.
Not just a Halloween thing. Spiders have
been... You love
been,
spiders.
Yes. They've what? Been very important, not only to the environment, but to cultures across the world. And that's some of the things we help people understand when they come to the zoo, and especially during Boo at the Zoo.
All right. Explain what Boo at the Zoo is.
Well, Boo at the Zoo is a Halloween extravaganza that starts on October 13th and runs weekends through October 28th. And it's presented by Ferrara Candy. So when people come to Boo at the Zoo, they can have safe trick-or-treating experiences.
Okay.
Yes, because between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., Ferrara has provided 20,000 pounds of candy that we can give to trick-or-treaters at trick-or-treat stations throughout the zoo on the weekends. So it's pretty awesome.
But you probably shouldn't go and knock on the lion's den. You should probably just pick it up where the candy's located.
Yeah, don't go and ask the lions for it.
Make
sure you're talking to people.
Around the zoo, point out a couple of things that you're going to notice.
Well, some of the things that you're going to notice is that we're going to have pumpkin carving on the North and South Mall. So the pumpkin carving is going to be done by a professional pumpkin carver that is going to turn 1,000-pound pumpkins into awesome pieces of art.
Is that right? Cool.
That's right. We're also going to have zoo chats so people can learn some things about some of our more obscure animals, such as an 11:30 bat chat. So people will be able to come over to the Australia House, see the flying foxes, and start to understand some of the differences between the bats we have around here and those that are important for pollination.
Let me ask, I'm always the zoos, and we know the zoos in the area, that they are almost pushed, and they're really kind of marketed as summer destinations. When you get to the fall and the winter time, you're seeing the zoos do more things around the holidays, Halloween or the lights around Christmas. What do you have to do to get the communities to come to the zoo when the thought in everyone's head is this is a summer thing to do?
We just have to get the word out and let people know that we are open 365 days a year, and when you come during the shoulder seasons, you can have a more intimate and somewhat spiritual experience.
Spiritual, you say?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Samberg.
I don't know how we could be talking about the Brookfield Zoo and not be talking about how it's the birth of Wendy Snyder's radio career.
Yeah. Explain.
She was, as a job, as a teen, she was giving tours at the zoo, and somebody at the Loop, not Larry Word, but somebody like that, heard her giving it and said, you should be on the radio.
Really? So just by hearing her voice?
Just by hearing her voice, you know? So
that's right.
So that's, I'm sure everybody that comes to the zoo brings up Wendy Snyder.
So very good. I'm glad that you did bring that up.
And now we are the morning zoo, pretty much. So.
Andre, another question about zoos. And, of course, trying to get people through the door in the winter months. But what about the animals? A lot of the animals we're talking about, just making jokes about lions, they're not used to winter climates and living in this area with these kind of temperatures and weather fluctuation. How does a zoo handle the fact that you have animals that are not in the desired environment?
Well, what we do is we do everything we can to give them a great quality of life. So the animals do have indoor and outdoor habitats. Animals like lions can become acclimated to temperatures that can go down to about 30 degrees or so, but then we can provide them indoor areas with heat. Also, over by the viewing window where you see the lions, that rock that they lay on is heated as well.
That's
so we
cool.
do everything we do to provide them with everything they need to have a great quality of life.
I like a good nap. Would that be a good napping spot for me?
Perfect napping spot as long as the lions aren't there.
Yeah, heated rock.
Right? They may not want to share too
much. Come on.
Andre, could I ask about one of the aforementioned critters that you brought up?
Sure.
The flying foxes. I didn't know there was such a thing. Can you elaborate?
Dave thought that was a university nickname.
I used to do their games, I think.
Right.
Well, these are fruit bats, and you usually find them in tropical areas, such as down in South America, islands of the Philippines, and the particular type we have are the Rodriguez fruit bats. Unlike the bats that we have around here, they feed on fruit. They have excellent eyesight, so they don't use echolocation to find their food. And what they will do is, when they are eating, a lot of them will stick their heads inside of flowers. So they're very important pollinators for things like mangoes, agave, and if you go down to the southwestern United States, for prickly pear cactus.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
The best place for information is obviously the Brookfield Zoo website, but are you there 24/7 now through Halloween?
Well, I will be there Monday through Friday.
Okay.
And some Sundays as well. But yes, our website, ccs.org. You can go there, find out the full schedule of events for Boo at the Zoo. We invite everybody to come down to have a safe, fun time and enjoy the Halloween festivities.
Andre Copeland. Thank you, Andre.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate your patience here as well. I want to say hi as well to Ron and Larry Manella. Ron and Larry Manella. I hope
hey,
I got
Larry.
That right. What would you say?
Yeah, I'd say Manella.
But then what do we got here?
My Slick.
My Slicky.
My Slicky. Are we right?
We got a lot of names. At any rate, everybody's here at Mary's Morning Mix-Up, and we're back with more in a moment as Steve stands by live in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on the road. This morning live from Mary's Morning Mix-Up, 9110 West Broadway Avenue in Brookfield. Stop by and enjoy the fried donuts.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And enjoy Friday on 720 WGN.
All right, we're back. For you youngsters, listening, let me give you a quick lesson in sucking up. Today, one of our bosses, Stephanie, it's her birthday today. Who wants to sing happy birthday to Stephanie?
Oh, isn't that great? On the oh,
and a so one, nice. And a two.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday to you.
Cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday, dear Stephanie. Happy birthday to you.
All right.
don't see Stephanie that embarrassed that often, right? Look at the red face.
I love the fact that she was pretending to be embarrassed when she enjoyed every second of it.
Happy birthday!
A very nice job of sucking up. Very nice, yeah. very nice. Yes, the color red is... It's a wild crowd here. Wild.
Having fun.
All right, so I told you I get a lot of questions. Steve, how do you get your hair to look like that?
Right, that's number one.
That's one of them.
Well, how did you get to look... You look just like Ryan Gosling. That's
yeah, I get that a lot. Yeah. And Steve... Whatever happened to Kathy?
That's right.
Kathy Hart has moved on and is enjoying her life until she agreed to work with Frank Fontana this weekend on 720 WGS. Let me say hi to Kath. Kath, how you been?
Oh, my God, that's funny. I've been fantastic, getting a lot of sleep.
Well, that's nice, right? Because I don't know if you remember, getting up at this hour stinks.
Yeah, not to rub it in or anything, but I do not miss waking up at 3:30.
I'm just wondering, when you walk around, do people stop you and say, whatever happened to Steve Cochran?
All the time. All I know to tell him is you're on the golf course. Go find him there.
All right, now, I know you're going to do the show. We'll get Frank on here in a second. I know you're going to do the show with Frank. Does that mean you may be doing more radio in the future?
I have no idea. I don't even know where my headphones are. I have to find them and dust them off. And you know, radio's been in my blood for years, so I may just have that addiction quality where I need to get back.
Well, listen, I'm looking forward to Sunday. Justin, have you ever met Kath?
I have not. Welcome to the team,
Justin
Kathy.
Hi, Justin.
So for you to get back in, what goes through your mind? Is it nerves about getting back on the radio, or is it like riding a bike? You just sort of jump right back in?
Well, it's funny. I was having a Facebook conversation with Wendy Snyder, and I was telling her, it feels like I'm going to a brand new school. So I've got those nerves because it's been a little while. I'm super excited because it's WGN. Come on. And I'm trying to figure out what to wear.
Well, that's definitely what I think about. I think about that each morning. What will I wear?
Well,
a black golf shirt or a blue golf shirt?
Yeah, and if she's doing the show with Frank Fontana, just so you know, Kathy, Frank only wears skin-tight T-shirts that show off his biceps, so you can be ready for that one.
I always tell Frank, I say, you can shop outside of the young boys' section, you know, because those T-shirts are small.
Yeah, it might be a distraction. I've never had such a handsome partner before, so I'm sure I can handle it.
You're going to love hanging out with Frank. Let's get him on the phone, as a matter of fact. Pop this up. Frank, how are you, bud?
I'm great, guys. Hey, I'm hearing you with the whole skin tight. You know, I stole that look from you, so don't try to lie, all right?
That's true. That's very true. You and me and Jennifer Aniston. So you're working with a legend, and Kathy's working with a legend. I see a huge fight between you two in the first hour of the show.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah.
We did, right. I told her to wear blue. She told me to wear red. And, you know, we're thinking about not even doing the show Sunday.
Kath, are you interested in design? Are you interested in the stuff Frank does every day?
I am now. I have a little more time to do some decorating things around the house. So you mentioned that we share the same agency, Mendel, same with Frank. So Steve turned me on to Frank, and he's like, Frank will totally help you with your house. So I needed it for sure. But now
also,
I am familiar with him.
Also, if you follow Kathy on Facebook, she does a lot of cooking and stuff like that.
Really?
So I think she could introduce some of her own personal expertise to Frank.
No doubt.
Definitely. You know, here's what people don't know about Kathy is Kathy is actually more like Martha Stewart than anybody knows. She just doesn't want to admit it, right, Kath?
Don't tell anyone. No, I love to cook mostly because I love to eat.
You got a specialty? Like, what's your main, what's your go-to? What's your, this is the one I tell people about that I do.
I love making soup. I made a pumpkin soup last night, and someone was teasing me because I got fresh pumpkins, and it took forever, and they're like, just go get pumpkin in a can. And I wish I would have.
So would that be like
easier, love making soup.
What color would that be? What color would that be as you present it?
Pumpkin soup?
Yeah, would you get
orange,
the basic orange?
Purple. No.
The reason I ask is I'd like Frank to match the decor to your soup.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I can bring some in. I like to top it off with bacon bits and sour cream.
Oh, very nice. Nice. Very nice.
It'll be interesting. See, we got a celebrity chef coming on too with Kathy, Carrie Karsh, who's going to be giving away a Kenmore Ovation stand-up mixer. So we're going to have a little cooking throwdown, Kathy. I didn't tell you this.
That's a good prize, Frank.
Frank giving a plug already. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Kathy, a little giveaway.
For you, you know, were number one at, with Eric for so many years over at the mix, and
not every way. Listen,
except
I beat
him twice. Cochran beat you twice, but you know, are you surprised at how much media or how much frenzy there's been about the breakup of your relationship or the idea that you are not on that show anymore? That it continues to be a story that you're not on with Eric.
Well, I think just because there were a lot of questions unanswered. It was not the most orthodox way to leave a show, but that's some of the stuff we might be talking about on Sunday with Frank, giving an update on what I've been doing, the whole transformation I've made. It's been an incredible year, so I'm beyond excited about getting back on the radio, though. I can't wait.
Well, listen, Kathy, you belong on the radio, and I'm glad you're doing it with us, at least for one show, and who knows, maybe more.
I think they're doing three. I think we have three.
Oh, we have a three-show agreement?
Yeah.
Mandel's not doing one
Mandel
show.
Mandel is unbelievable. I didn't know we had a three-show agreement. It's incredible.
I think that's a small contract in radio history right there.
Yeah, breaking radio news. All right, Frank, you be nice to Kathy now because she'll be nice to you, and we look forward to hearing you guys on Sunday. At what time, Frank?
1 to 3 every Sunday. And, hey, we'll be filling in for John Williams on Wednesday from 1 to 3 as well.
That's great.
This is how the takeover starts. This is how it starts. Frank and Kathy knocking off John Williams, the elderly late-afternoon host.
Now they're coming for you next.
Are they? Yeah. Oh, they got a big wall to get through. Kath, nice catching up with you. Have fun on Sunday.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And welcome to the family. That's
yeah,
great.
Thanks, Frank.
That's awesome. And the nice thing is she doesn't really have to worry about headphones because we have those really cool Allstate-branded headphones in the studio, so you don't even need your own.
That are hardwired. You can't get rid of them.
You can't. They can't be stolen. That's what.
Right. The Kathy we're referring to is Kathy Hart.
Right.
For those of you who may have been wondering, joined us in the middle.
I once left my headphones in the studio when I was doing a download, and Bob Ferguson put a nameplate on the side of my headphones, so I'll never forget. But he spelled my name Justin. He spelled it Justine. Put an E on the end, so it's Justine Kaufman. So Kathy sees those. It's not.
I don't
producer. It's mine.
I don't want to start any problems with you in engineering. But are you sure it was an accident?
They could have been Jasmine's headphones.
I think it's a funny bit that Bob was doing.
Yeah, exactly.
So I like it.
Still to come, John C. Reilly. He's got a brand new movie, and he's Chicago's own, and so are we. So we'll talk to John C. Reilly. You saw the movie yesterday?
I did. I saw it yesterday.
You got a live review coming.
The Sisters Brothers.
9:21. We continue live from Mary's Morning Mix Up. Everybody having a good time.
Yeah.
Thank goodness the police chief is here. 720 WGN.
Back to Mary's Morning Mix Up with the Steve Coppin Show on 720 WGN.
I want to say hi to the C Spar Eagles. They came out to have breakfast. They're the ones yelling cheese behind Dave Ennett when he was
talking about his plumbing.
And they're great people. It's Adults with Disabilities and a transitional organization. A lot of these guys are working and getting everything out of life that all the rest of us should have as well. So it's a cool deal. Thank you guys for the work you do. As I've talked about on the show many times, my brother Mickey is part of an organization like that in Ithaca, right. New York, called Challenge Industries. And any way you can support the special needs community when they're trying to make sure that, you know, like you go into Jewel, right? You see Jewel, some of the baggers are some of the happiest people, and they make you feel better because they're always in a good mood. So what are we complaining about?
And they said right here that Tischler's next door is an employer.
Is an employer,
and
yeah.
Mariano's in the area, so.
That's great.
Stepping up.
Hey, Sandberg, did you text me that information to mention that your dad sent you?
Oh, I did.
Okay,
well,
why don't you do
I mean,
plug?
It wasn't really necessarily had to be. You were talking about the Civil Engineer
Awards. The Civil Engineer's Awards thing I did last night, but I want to give this guy his due.
My Uncle Jerry is a civil engineer, and he worked on the lakefront landfill creation of Lakeshore Drive.
Oh, wow.
He was first in his class at Notre Dame and then second in his class at MIT.
Me too.
He also did a thing for Mayor Daley. They were doing the to build an airport on the lake, but that never got built. But that was his thing.
So. Sounds like a smart guy.
Yeah, he's pretty smart. That's where I get it. Also, if anybody wants to check out any pictures of us here at Mary's Morning Mix-Up, they can go to WGNRadio.com. We're right on the homepage. We're also on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page and Twitter.
Have you been keeping an eye on Twitter all morning? Are we missing anything?
No.
Just a standard Friday morning fare?
Of course not.
Mostly what you should look for in the photo gallery is Dave Ennett. He sketched a drawing of Steve Cochran with some crayons.
Well, here's how this started. I grabbed Dave the couple crayons that the kids get, and I gave it to Dave, not knowing he had any artistic talent whatsoever. He then drew a picture of me at the microphone.
It's you.
Very good.
It's too. Steve at the microphone. It has the goatee, and Steve is holding his phone, which he's always holding his phone.
Right.
So it's.
But here's the problem. The cup of crayons he got me, I mean, here's like, here's a violet red. Here's a, you know, just, they're not, it wasn't great. Yellow, green.
You don't like the color selection.
Indigo.
You were still able to make this work. So this picture is in the photo gallery now.
Why is Steve
now,
missing
I do have
a
to
hand?
Say, I do have to say, you've sort of made me shapeless. And, you know, I've lost some weight, and I'm feeling, you know, like I'm almost ready for the Olympic Games again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm well, sort of...
He could have made your upper body a little more broad.
A little
you do
blob.
Look like a blob.
A little blob-like.
Yeah. He looks like a Tyrannosaurus Rex with those short little arms.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Well, it was hard because I'd already started to draw his arms, and I noticed his sleeves were halfway up.
Sorry, Dave. Everybody's an art critic. You're just doing what you can.
I mean, this is best. Dave's perception. That's we can't argue his perception of
I
you.
I can.
You know?
So it's 9:29. Do we need a break before we come back with the headlines?
No.
Okay. After the headlines, John C. Reilly going to join us. How about that?
Yes, John C. Reilly.
A huge star.
What's the name of the movie again that you saw?
The Sisters Brothers.
The Sisters Brothers.
It's a Western that takes place in Oregon, 1851.
Is the Western coming back?
I don't know. But
as
it's
a genre?
John C. Reilly's so interesting because he started his career in drama. He has made such a great name for himself in comedy. And he is now in a position where he can do whatever he chooses. And he chooses such interesting projects. This is he's opposite Joaquin Phoenix. They're brothers. They're bounty hunters on the, I guess, the in Oregon and the Gold Rush. In the San Francisco, and it's fascinating. I really like the movie, and John C. Reilly once again putting in a tremendous performance, one that is nuanced, and again, you're like, this is not comedy. This is him doing drama. He can do it all. So John C. Reilly, Chicago's own, coming up here.
A news from Florida, from the Catholic Church, the missing Washington Post reporter. There's a Melania Trump interview special that's on tonight. ABC News is running a full hour of Melania Trump unfiltered from her trip in Africa. I think that's tonight, 9 o'clock Chicago time, so heads up on that as well.
I love the internet this week that pointed out she looked like the villain in Indiana Jones.
Yeah, we're not stretching too hard, are we?
She looked there were a lot of memes that showed the villain in Indiana Jones and her. Well, that's
if you
pretty impressive.
The collective energy of the internet used to mock other people. Imagine what we could do.
She is the most bullied person in America.
That was a weird quote.
Yeah.
Did we just become best friends? Yep.
The Steve Cochran Show live from Brookfield at 9110 West Broadway Avenue at Mary's Morning Mix-Up. Now on 720 WGN.
A lot of people don't know this. John C. Reilly is my actual stepbrother. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Oh, that's a true story. I don't make stuff up.
No.
I love John C. Reilly. I haven't been on the show in a long time, and it's a pleasure to welcome him back. How are you, man?
Good. Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're great. Congrats on the new movie, which Justin saw and is going to talk to you about in just a second. But is this a new twist, a new turn? Are we going to see more drama from you?
Well, I never stopped doing drama, and I've been doing comedy longer than you might think. But but yeah, you know, I try to just change it up as much as I can. And the Sisters Brothers, which is my latest thing, I've been developing it for 7 years. I bought the rights to this book 7 years ago, and now it's in theaters. And we're getting some of the best reviews of my whole life, actually.
Well, let's see how Justin reviews a live review. Don't be nervous.
No, John, I thought you were outstanding in the film. The film takes place in Oregon, 1851. It's a Western, you know, two bounty hunter brothers, you and Joaquin Phoenix. What drew you to this character, to this script, to this idea? Because it does seem a little, I mean, I don't want to say out of character, but it does, it's something that you know, obviously we don't necessarily automatically think of John C. Reilly, but you were just so good in it. What brought you to this script?
Well, it's funny you say that. That just tells you what a big impact those comedies I've been in have made, because I think I've made 5 comedies and about 70 dramatic movies.
I know, right?
But, definitely, Step Brothers is in people's hearts for sure. But what drew me to this book was, it was a book in the first place, and it's this incredible story about two brothers who kill people for a living in 1851 in the Pacific Northwest, like you said, in San Francisco. And I mean, the book was just so beautifully written. It went on to win all these prizes and stuff, but we got the rights to it before it was even published. And then we went to a great filmmaker, this guy Jacques Audiard, who's one of the best filmmakers in Europe, and he turned it into this incredible movie. So what drew me was really the character of Eli. He's like, he's both a really scary killer, but at the same time, he's just like a protective older brother, which is kind of why he's in the game. My brother, who's played by Joaquin Phoenix, is the really crazy one, and I'm sort of the caretaker brother in the relationship. But there's a lot of great stuff in the movie. Jake Gyllenhaal's in it, Riz Ahmed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
I wanted to get the word out. Chicago is one of my crowning achievements.
Yeah, that was very good. Congrats on sticking with it all these years. It's not easy, you know, in Hollywood. All these years you're trying to develop a project, and even if you're John C. Reilly, you hit a little bump in the road here or there, so it's got to feel great to have it done.
Guys, what diner are you at right now?
The Loud One.
We're at Mary's Mix-Up in Brookfield, Illinois, right outside Chicago to the west. There we go.
Brookfield. Hey, guys, is it too late to get a pancake order in?
No doubt about it. It's a little like Game of Thrones. Whenever we recognize them, they're about to rush to the table.
Pancakes. We're sending pancakes out to you, John.
All right, so talk a little bit about riding horses. Did you ride horses before this movie?
Well, you know, I was just up in Michigan or in Wisconsin when I was a kid on vacation. We'd, like, take little trail rides, but this was a whole other level. I was on that horse almost every day. We were riding real fast. Sometimes we were riding through the mountains, so I really had to learn what I was doing. And luckily, I had a great horse. Pollito was his name, which means little chicken in Spanish. He spoke Spanish, so I had to speak Spanish to him in order to get him to do what I wanted.
Speaking horse. Wow. Very impressive.
John, the relationship.
Horses speak other languages, but they do. Whatever country they're brought up in, that's what you have to talk to them.
Right. Whatever language they speak. There's a tremendous, this movie is about brothers, it's about family, but it's also about relationships, because it's your relationship with your brother, Charlie in this case, but also your relationship with Jake Gyllenhaal and the prospectors, but also the horse. I mean, it just is, it's an interesting look at how we relate. When you approach a character, how important is it for you to develop those relationships or find a character that has depth to be able to show a lot of nuance?
Yeah, well, that's the secret to the whole thing, is being in relationship with whoever you're acting with. And, you know, the big relationship in the movie is me and Joaquin Phoenix. We got so close during the movie. We were living together and cooking for each other every night and driving to work. And we were the only people who spoke English, or at least the only Americans in a lot of the places we were. So he and I got really tight, I also developed a relationship with that horse. You know, when your safety depends on an animal like that,
sure,
you tend to, like, you know, at least I did. I like doubled down on that relationship. I would go and visit the horse on the weekend and bring him apples and talk to him. Like, I wanted to make sure that, like, he was interested in keeping me safe, and he did. He was an amazingly smart horse.
You know, you think about it, 1851, you said, is the setting?
Yeah.
Because think about your car and how much your car means to you. All right, now your car is alive. Because the mode of transportation of 1851 was your horse, and your horse was family. I mean, I get it. I can't imagine life like that.
Yeah, I mean,
I get it.
You make a good point, because when you, that's what I, one of the things that kind of dawned on me when I was training on the horse. I was like, we're so used to machines that, for transportation, and, you know, there's really no dialogue with a car. You just tell it what you want it to do. And horses, it's a bit more of a negotiation. You know, you have to, it's more like, you know, convincing the horse to do what you want it to do. There's a relationship there.
John, you mentioned earlier you've done five or six comedies in films, but people now consider you a comedic actor because of your work with Will Ferrell and Adam McKay, movies like Talladega Nights and Step Brothers. Got another one, the Sherlock Holmes movie, coming out soon. So talk about that relationship, because that really has brought the comedy out of you to the point where people will discard or disregard some of the other work that you've done because they just consider you to be one of the funniest actors on the planet. Talk about that.
Well, I really appreciate the fact that the audiences have, my whole career, have allowed me to do all kinds of different stuff. If my career has any through line, it's that it's always something different. You know, I have a lot of variety in terms of the people and the directors that I work with. But, yeah, I'm really proud of the fact that people recognize my work with Will Ferrell, because, you know, that's he's one of my best friends. That's some of the best work I think I've ever done. And those movies are beloved. You know, there's a special thing that happens when you make people laugh. People don't forget it, you know. And I can't tell you how many people have come up to me, people who are in the service or in the army or whatever, moving through airports. They come up to me and tell me, like, how much, you know, that laughter has meant to them. And it's very humbling. You realize, like, wow, that's a really special thing that I get to do. And so many people in rough times in their lives turn to those movies, and you provide some relief to people's lives, and that's, I don't know, that's pretty cool.
It is nice.
Pretty cool.
And by the way, not just because it's a home game, but I thought you in Chicago was one of the best things I ever saw you do.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, thank you very much. That was shot in Toronto, actually.
I
love that movie.
Aware of that. Yeah.
It is John C. Reilly. The new movie, Justin, is what?
The Sisters Brothers. It's a great film. It's out now. I saw it downtown at the AMC River
East.
Do
you have like a movie ratings thing that you do?
I don't.
It's buckets of popcorn?
I don't. I'm not a reviewer.
Thumbs? What is it?
No, it's just that John C. Reilly is really great in this film.
All right, really great is good.
And a really, really beautiful film. When you watch it and some of the settings and just the time period, it's really, really great. John is great in it, so yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice of you to say. Appreciate that.
Yep.
Come by when you can next time you're in town. We'll look forward to Sherlock Holmes, and you got three others out before the year's over.
Let's call homies.
Yeah, I'll call you guys back. I got three more movies coming out before January, so you'll be sick of me by February.
Yeah, you got
hardest working man in show business.
I love it.
Thank you, John C. Reilly. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, guys. Lots of love to everybody in Chicago. I miss you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
John
C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly. He is so good. He is, and we didn't even talk, and we have to have him back just for Dr. Stephen Brule. We didn't talk at all about his work he does on Adult Swim. You ever see Dr. Brule?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
well,
they're not doing them anymore, are they? Are
oh
they doing
my
those?
Lord.
I don't think so.
His range, his ability to do characters and be funny, he understates it, saying, oh, I've only done five or six things. He is one of the best working right now.
By the way, if you go down his IMDb list, there's been a few more than five or six.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that five or six are legendary.
Boogie Nights, he was. I guess you categorize that as a drama, but he's funny in it. And then, of course, the Dewey Cox, Walk Hard.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So, yeah, tremendous. And it's, you know, we didn't think about it. Wasn't the Johnny Cash movie Joaquin Phoenix? Didn't he play Johnny Cash?
Yeah.
And that, and so the parody of that is John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
And they come together.
Walk Hard.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Got a couple more minutes here. Live from Mary's Morning Mix-Up.
Back to Mary's Morning Mix-Up.
You ain't got no pancake mix!
With the Steve Coppin Show on 720 WGN.
I want to thank Super Joe back at the tower. Steve Grzanich, of course. And who's the
Ben agent? Cortez.
Ben,
yeah. He's got some great jams. Super Joe.
Well, you don't hear Huey a lot anymore.
That and the City Lopper was earlier,
oh,
right?
Man, from the Goonies.
And also want to thank everybody here at Mary's Morning Mix-Up. I got to tell you, this is a fun bunch.
Yeah.
They really are.
They let us interrupt their breakfast this morning.
Place been packed all morning long.
All morning. And the best part is they're always packed. We were inconvenienced.
I didn't hear that. I heard they were practically going under until we got here this morning.
Well, we did take up a bunch of tables, you know.
Yes, we did.
Oh, one long table.
Let's do the weekend plugs, Dave.
Oh, it is kind of like we're at a wedding, Justin.
Yeah.
It's like we're at the head table at a wedding.
It's the head table. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We need to do best man speeches.
Northwestern football win.
Tomorrow, actually, Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio, will be out there starting at 7 from the end zone on the southwest corner of Ryan Field. And then we start at 10:30 on the air from Northwestern, the Wildcats and the Nebraska Cornhuskers, and the kickoff at 11.
You feel good about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think more to do with Northwestern, I think, than Nebraska. I think Nebraska is dangerous. They're going to win eventually, but yeah, I mean, I think the way Northwestern played last week, they just get a moment.
Second half now, let's keep it going.
It's got to sustain. That's
right. If listeners have broken things, can they bring them to Lou's broadcast so he can fix it?
I don't know why not. That's really not my call,
get through
but
security.
Sure.
Everybody that comes out and sees Lou tomorrow gets a free opportunity to have Lou come to their house and fix one item.
There you go.
That's
one
a great
thing
deal.
At the house, which is great.
Steve, tomorrow I'm taking the softball team to the 16-inch.
Ah, boy, here we go.
Softball championship.
To the
Hall
museum?
Of Fame. There's a Hall of Fame in Forest Park.
Would you call it a museum?
Yes. And we're taking the team out there, it's almost like it's like, you know how when teams go to the White House?
Yeah.
This is we won our championship, so we're going to the 16-inch Hall of Fame.
And there's a few team members that don't agree with the politics of the Hall of Fame, so they are not attending.
Oh, really? They backed out?
Really? Yeah, they're wearing protest T-shirts.
It's unbelievable. Well, you know, you got to let people be who they are.
That's right.
And Justin's making them dress in suit and ties.
Yeah. Well, you got to respect the sport. They'll be up right afterwards. We'll have them on WGNRadio.com on Monday.
Okay.
But no doubt, you got to respect the 16-inch game.
Is there a field out there where you could have a pickup game?
There's an amazing field out there. Steve, you got to come out. Next
that's
year,
where they play the Hall of Fame game every year, right?
That's right. Yeah.
That's where we'll have our team next year.
Mary Vannevall, what are you doing this weekend?
I am seeing my grandbaby tonight.
Yeah, there you go.
And I'm going to see A Star Is Born, I think.
There you go.
I'm making my husband
that's
take me.
That's a good
me.
Weekend.
Yeah, David did back after that line.
Samber?
I'm going to watch my husband do the Blackhawks game on Saturday night.
You don't watch him when he's working.
I do.
No, come on.
You know what makes it easy to watch when he's got Adam Burrish by his side?
Okay, let's be honest. Do you tune in for like a select 5 minutes so when he comes home you could say, hey, honey, I saw you do this?
No, but I do mostly watch with the kids when they're at our house. Uh-huh. And when the intermissions come on, they say, can we change the channel during the intermission? They don't want to watch Pat and do that. They don't mind watching the game, but they have no interest in intermission.
Pete is still in recovery from his vicious injury earlier this week at Northwestern. What is your plan? Just sit on a bag of peas? That's pretty much it. Yeah,
he's going to sing soprano at the Aria.
Yeah, and why not?
What are you doing, Steve?
And I got nothing going on, so if anybody wants to hang out, I mean, I'm available. If you guys want me to come over or something, or maybe...
No golf or anything?
No,
it's so cold.
First weekend I've never had plans, so if anybody wants to hang out with me...
Come on up to Evanston tomorrow. I mean, I think Coach Fitz was really intrigued. I think he'd like you as part of the staff.
I think so, too. What are the chances I get a ticket for tomorrow's game? Slim or none?
Well, if you know the right people, but I think that...
that's a no.
I don't think you know the right people.
Right, since I don't. And, of course, we want to thank Marley and Wells. Nothing gets done on these broadcasts without Marley and Wells.
Oh!
Well, Marlene just pulled out a Northwestern Nebraska ticket.
That's
for
the
me.
Right people.
Marlene, thank you as well. All right, listen, we got to go. Bill and Wendy are coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Mary's Morning Mix-Up. 9110 Broadway Avenue in Brookfield.